This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
That's the Sensations. Let me in. I want to come in again. I think that was 1962, Ed, if I'm not mistaken. Ed is able to find these songs. I thought about this song only because of the pandemic and people wanting to get out and about and doing things again. And I just thought this thing was somewhat appropriate. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am indeed Paul Molloy. And along with Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us. Hey, it's Monday, May 11th already. And in a few minutes, Ryan Young of the Competitive Enterprise Institute is going to join us. We're going to talk about how the government can continue to deregulate as a way of helping people get back into the workforce. You know, the less regulations for people to start up their businesses again or indeed start new businesses, the better off we all might be. So we'll talk about that. And the world is turning its attention to China and discussing ways to hold their government accountable for the pandemic. We're going to talk about some of these ideas to corral some justice from them. And which cities are poised to make the quickest comeback from the pandemic? Well, we're going to tell you which ones they are. Yeah, there are some that they think are going to do a better job than others. And in our ultimate top 10, on Friday, we gave you the top 10 best state capitals to live in. So turnabout being fair play, the top 10 worst states to inhabit. Can't wait to tell you. Can't wait to find out myself. By the way, good morning, Clearwater. Isn't that a great show, those two people? They're so bubbly and positive, and they talk about Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Paul and Tracy, they do a great job. I always enjoy listening to them. I hope you do, too. They're on Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. here on the Tan Talk Radio Network. We're on Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11. And if you can't make it to listen to us live, get over to the website, ourfreedomworks.com. And you can listen to us anytime your little heart desires. Big Ed, bless his soul, puts all our shows on podcast. And when you get up there and click on the podcast button, you will have an opportunity to see ahead of time who we're going to be talking with, what the topic is, when what the top 10 is. That's all you need in life. So there you go. Our, O-U-R, freedomworks.com. Well, now, attorney generals around the country, in fact, 18 of them, have signed a letter asking bipartisan leaders in both the House and Senate to start hearings into China's role in the spread of the epidemic, the coronavirus. They say the nation has given us, quote, layers of deceit in a cover-up of the severity of this virus. While it wreaked havoc in America. Now, the letter is dated 3 days ago, I think it is, May 9th, 2 days ago. And South Carolina Attorney General Alan Wilson is heading the whole thing. He said that we got to get to the bottom of the truth. We cannot rely solely on the media to do the investigation. We've got to have truly congressional oversight. He says we got to go deep into an investigation using the reaches of the federal government. So you just knew this was coming. that once we settled into this thing, you know, kind of got our, what is it when you're on a boat? Kind of got our sea legs. We were going to look to China's involvement in all of this. Now, not only the attorneys general, pressure on China to give us more info about the origin of this virus is ramping up from U.S. officials, especially after reports that China withheld info about this thing. You know, they got some nerve, don't they? They withheld, we all know that they stifled info on this thing when it first broke. But now they're trying to they're trying to hack into our work to find a vaccine. What is going on? I mean, there are reports that they are actually, you know, trying to steal information on our working on the vaccine. Have they no pride in themselves?
The thing is, also, nobody's bringing it up, is drawing a fine line. I mean, if a country develops some sort of a man-made virus and sends it into this country deliberately, that's considered an act of war. Last I checked.
You think they developed it?
I mean, you'd have to go along. You'd have to prove they developed it, was man-made and purposely to spread throughout the world.
I mean, lots of people believe it. I still think that it got out of control. I do buy into the idea that it was in that lab. I mean, buy into that.
What's the difference between sending anthrax over here or something?
Well, I don't think they...
Well,
I don't know that they did it intentionally, but they certainly covered it up intentionally. That we can all agree on, right?
Yeah.
And the way they handled the virus, the way they bungled it, is enough to make you upset. But then they doubled their, they doubled it by stifling the information, and then they tripled it by allowing planes to leave China for other parts of the world. What? Why would they do that when they would not allow planes to fly into other Chinese cities? What was the point of that?
You know? Flooding Italy with all those infected people.
And Italy was flooded with infected. You know, I had this thing with Italy, with all the work that they that Italy does that involves China. Yeah, it's horrible. So so now we're looking at all of these things that they're doing. Here is. Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton, he's a Republican. He said there's no question that Xi Jinping and senior officials, or I guess he pronounces it Xi Jinping, and senior officials in the party were pressuring the WHO, that's the World Health Organization, all the way back in December to undersell the risk of this virus. He says they knew in China early on, probably as early as the early days of December, that this thing was both highly contagious among humans and very deadly for certain people. Yet they wanted to save face. I think it's more than wanting to save face when you allow people to fly out of China and into other countries when you don't allow them to fly into other places inside of China. There is an act of treachery there, you know. But now that we look back, and I got a very, you know, Neville Cramer, Ed, we have Neville Cramer on all the time, and he really distrusts China. He goes around the world. He's a security consultant. He works with businesses all over. And he says, just take a look at some of the things that they've done. And he showed me pictures. He sent me pictures of all of these different planes that China created that look exactly the same as our planes. In other words, they were copying all of our different fighter planes, as an example. It was amazing. I mean, they were complete knockoffs. I think people are finally coming around to realizing how bad and how treacherous China is. I really believe it. Anyway, let us take our break. And when we come back, Ryan Young from the Competitive Enterprise Institute, how we can deregulate to get people back to work.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
It won't be long now till we open up again here in Florida. And man, the first place that I'm going to go is to Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. I've been to lots of haircutters over the years, and I can tell you I have never found a better one than Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. With over 50 years of experience and a staff of hair experts, Andrew's Master Barbershop is truly in a class by itself. So man, when we finally open up again, make a date for Andrew's Master Barbershop just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshew.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Womp, bomp, loom, bomp, lomp, bomp, bomp, toot-a-boot, oh, root, toot-a-boot, oh, root, toot-a-boot.
We are back. Little Richard. Now, Ed, why didn't you tell me? I forgot about Little Richard passing away at the age of, I think, 87. What a great talent he was. Oh, my goodness. And we should have been playing some music from him. You were wise enough to insert it. Thank
he did
you.
Pass away, not by coronavirus.
No, he didn't. That's right. He just passed. What was it, old age or what?
Well, if you leave it to Cuomo, who chalk it up as another one.
Oh, boy. He actually died. He didn't die in New York, did he?
No.
Yeah. Anyway, good old... I'll tell you, we've been losing a lot of people. We're going to talk about another one we lost a little bit later in the show, so stick around. Anyway, Ryan Young is joining us. We've had Ryan on many times. He's a senior fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. He focuses on regulatory reform, trade policy, and antitrust regulation, to mention a few things. And he's done a piece about how the Competitive Enterprise Institute's involved in a battle to repeal and waive never-needed regulations. So, Ryan, welcome back. Hope you're safe.
Staying safe. Thanks for having me on, Paul. I hope you and everyone in ULOVE are staying safe,
We too. Are indeed. We are indeed. Now, we're trying to get people back to work, Ryan. A lot of states are opening up here in Florida. More businesses are allowed to open this week. And yet we've got, what, about a 15% unemployment rate. It's very scary, and we got to figure out a way to entice people to be able to open up their businesses again. So tell us a little bit about how deregulation will help that.
I think right now we can't really look to Washington for leadership, either the president or Congress. Some of the governors are going too far in one direction. Some are going too far in the other direction. I think the people on the ground are ultimately what is going to drive this recovery and determine when it's right to open up, what businesses can open up, and when. So one way to do that is to loosen a lot of regulations. For example, when restaurants had to change over from having people dine in to moving out to a delivery or a takeout model, a lot of times they ran afoul of local permits that would not let them do that. They weren't harming anybody. Why were those permits there in the first place?
Yeah.
So some of those regulations have been loosened. The FDA has been loosening a lot of its regulations against doctors being able to treat people and help people and hopefully get them back to work if possible. There are other regulations that prevent people from working at home or taking on contractor jobs that might not have the same benefits package that a traditional employer-employee relationship is. In fact, a lot of workers prefer being able to choose their own package over the one-size-fits-all company plan.
Right.
You have thousands and thousands of these regulations on the books. And to their credit, policymakers have already, just in the last month or so, gotten rid of more than 400 regulations. The trouble is that this is just a drop in the bucket. At the federal level alone, the Code of Federal Regulations is 185,000 pages long, and it contains more than 1.1 million individual regulatory restrictions. And that's just the federal level.
Oh my
State and local, that's extra. So there's a lot to do. And we also have to reform not just getting rid of this or that rule. We have to reform the rulemaking process itself that got all of those crazy rules on the books in the first place and prevent them from coming back again. So there's short-term action and long-term action that need to happen right now.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything going on right now in Congress or in the Senate to look at more regulations that should be chopped? Right now, I know you're calling for it at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Other organizations are calling for it. But do you see any action right now in Congress?
Behind the scenes, there's some shuffling. Right now, as far as legislation that's actually being introduced and debated, it's all what we call flash policy, just 1,000-page, trillion-dollar stimulus bills that were written overnight.
Yes.
Any thought or consideration.
Yes.
Behind the scenes, there's some rumbling, and I think one idea that might pass is an independent commission that would comb through those 185,000 pages of rules. And they'd start with the ones just on healthcare, technology, food and drug policy, the things that are really COVID relevant.
Yes.
And then Congress, a package of however many rules, guys, just vote on this package, get rid of it, get rid of these rules now. And that kind of thing worked with closing unneeded military bases after the Cold War ended. We think it can work again with regulations, so we're trying to push that idea as best we can, and I think some people are listening, so hopefully sometime soon we might see some action on that, whether from Congress or from the executive branch, because a lot of that can also be done via executive order. Congress is not the only avenue for reform that we have.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of interesting, maybe ironic. We are trying to ditch regulations, which is a very conservative libertarian approach to our freedoms. And at the same time, we're delving deeper and deeper into a socialistic approach to this pandemic by helicoptering money to people all over the place out of the hands of the government. And so I guess there's two forces going. Have you noticed that irony at all, Ryan?
I really have, but I've also noticed that there's a lot more bipartisan support for just the kinds of reforms we've been talking about, because a lot of regulations, frankly, are ridiculous and are keeping people out of work for no good reason.
Yeah.
And people are starting to see past the politics of it, and I find some hope in that.
Yeah. I was at a restaurant, you know, I was just hearkening back to it for Mother's Day, not to go in and eat, but to pick up. And I could see what you're talking about with the regulations. I mean, there are people that are lined up waiting to go in and get there. They weren't allowing people to go in and line up inside and wait for their takeout, you know? You all had to stand outside and separate. It was very interesting how that was working. But, I mean, regulations that say, you know, you got to do this, you got to do that, they really do get in the way. I would think most people are intelligent enough in the various communities to figure out a way to deal with this without the regulations, right?
Yeah, and think of how many stores are requiring people to wear masks or take other protective measures without regulators getting on the job. People are not senseless automatons.
Right.
We know what's going on, and we can take our own precautions, and in fact, we'll be more flexible and more adaptable than legislators can be. New York's situation is very different from Florida's, which is very different from Wyoming's. Those require different policies, and people on the ground are the ones who will know what is best.
Exactly right. We're talking with Ryan Young. He's a senior fellow at the Great Competitive Enterprise Institute, which is always looking out for businesses, which means they're always looking out for the freedoms of individuals as well, because you've got to have free businesses, unshackled in many cases, so that we have more people that are employed. Yeah, you make a good point there, Ryan. You know, the different areas, like here in Florida now, we're opening up for barbershops and salons this week. And, you know, people are going to have to figure out a way to deal with, you know, because there's an intimacy to a barber or a salon. You know, they've got to put their hands in your hair. You know, they got to be touching you, right? So people will figure it out, whether or not they social distance the people that are coming in, make appointments. I wonder about, you know, a governor or a president saying, okay, now you can open up this kind of a store and this is how you're going to do it. You know, well, you know, I know my store. I don't want to get the virus. I don't want my customers. You know, I mean, you can certainly have, I guess, I don't know, you can have some general overseeing rules, but sometimes it seems like they get a little bit too meticulous. What, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, risk is a very personal thing, and some politicians are, frankly, being too bold about it. Others are not being bold enough, and there's a balance that has to be struck. That balance is changing every week, and it's different in every state. Mm-hmm. So what you have to do is, I mean, for me, with my risk profile, I could use a haircut. I'm staying home. That's my risk profile. I don't need a regulator to tell me that.
No, exactly. Exactly. Now, I'm the same way.
People can make these decisions.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, you're in Washington. Let me are they opening up? Do you live in Virginia, or are you right in D.C. there?
Used to be in D.C. I'm actually in Illinois these days.
Oh, you're
and
in
the
Illinois.
Chicago area has been pretty...
My old
Chicago's
hometown.
Been pretty hard hit.
Oh, indeed, nice. indeed. I know a lot about it, and they're still battling there, trying to figure things out. Now, you're not allowed to go. Are you guys allowed to go out to restaurants yet? Are they doing the spacing in restaurants or the haircuts yet?
Barbershops, no. Restaurants, they're pretty much drive-through only.
Okay.
And, in this household, even though we're out in the burbs, we're playing it safe.
Yeah.
I'm keeping a close eye when we can open things back up. You know, we're homeschooling our daughter and all that.
Oh, yeah.
We're doing what we can.
Oh, absolutely.
Things will be back, but in the meantime, we're not in control here. The virus is.
Yeah.
We've got to tough it out.
Has Illinois' governor done a good job of overseeing and allowing, you know what I mean? Or are they regulating a little too much in the Prairie State, do you think?
He's gone too far on some things, but ultimately, it's not the governor that's in charge here. It's social norms. People know to be cautious, and so for the most part, people are being very good about it. If they're going out, they're wearing masks. They're avoiding risky activities for the most part, and I think people are doing a good job.
Yeah.
I don't think the governor can really take much credit or discredit for that.
Oh, that's a good answer. That's a good answer. What about if I might, you know, Illinois is always kind of pointed to in terms of maybe they're going to try to suck some additional money out to pay for all those pension programs and things that they can't, they haven't been able to really fund anymore and afford to pay out, you know? I mean, you think they're going to get away with maybe sucking a little more federal money into those coffers, or have they been caught?
I think we're not going to see the end of that anytime soon.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a decades-long problem of politicians making promises they can't possibly keep, and now that it's the generation where those promises have to be kept or not, they're trying as best they can to keep kicking that can down the road. If something can't go on forever, it will stop. But I don't think the politicians think they've reached that point yet.
Right. Now, you say in your your report that businesses will need easier access to loans, crowdfunding, and other financing that they have now. And you mentioned things like occupational licenses that tend to be slowing up people for new workers and the like. Are the people in Washington kind of, I mean, are their ears kind of perked up for this? Do you think we're going to be able to see that, go into fruition with things like that?
In some ways, we already have.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not too familiar with the details because this rule just came out in the last week, but the Securities Exchange Commission and the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau have already passed crowdfunding rules to make it a little bit easier for crowdfunding, which a lot of times is the easiest way if a local favorite restaurant's in trouble. If, you know, a few hundred people get together, pitch in a little bit of money, they can help the restaurant cover their rent or their payroll while things are shut down.
Oh, okay.
That's pretty much what crowdfunding is. And regulations make it often very difficult. So a lot of people have to go under the table or use services like Patreon or some other online service that takes a very large cut. If you allow banks with their economies of scale to also compete in that market, you can get more reliable, less risky products for crowdfunding that can help save businesses with a minimum of overhead.
So
those kinds of regulations are going to help a lot going forward.
So crowdfunding is a way of the public helping on their own certain businesses. Explain that if you would.
Yeah. Crowdfunding began, the concept began as exactly what you described. It's completely informal, just people helping each other out.
Mm-hmm.
If you get banks, financial institutions, that kind of reliable infrastructure involved, you can have that kind of helping and that kind of crowd sharing writ large. And that mm-hmm. can help a lot of businesses. People could help not just their neighbors. They can also help people they've never even met. When you leverage that kind of power, you can help a lot of businesses. You can manage risks. So it's a better deal for both the investors and the institutions. The businesses will have a much easier time getting the capital they need to stay open or to reopen. And really, it can be a win-win. And fortunately, Washington is starting to get a handle on that, and they're loosening some of the restrictions they've had.
That is good news. Well, it is always a pleasure to have you with us, Ryan. Thank you so very much for being with us. Please stay safe. I know we'll talk again soon.
Likewise. Thank you so much, Paul.
All right. Ryan Young, we're going to take our break. When we come back, going to talk a little bit about which cities are poised to make the quickest comeback from the pandemic. We're going to tell you which ones they are. You might be a little bit surprised.
I want to go home where I belong. Just a lonely teenager.
I'm just a lonely teenager.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
It won't be long now till we open up again here in Florida. And men, the first place that I'm going to go is to Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. I've been to lots of hair cutters over the years, and I can tell you I have never found a better one than Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. With over 50 years of experience and a staff of hair experts, Andrew's Master Barbershop is truly in a class by itself. So men, when we finally open up again, make a date for Andrew's Master Barbershop just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Hello there, Tampa Bay. This is former NFL and college football coach Jimmy Johnson. Listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can sure use the attention.
And this is former Major League Baseball player, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. I also hope you listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can darn sure use the money.
Hi there. This is marine wildlife artist and conservationist Dr. Guy Harvey. Please listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune in to the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Monday, and we thank you so very much for being with us. By the way, we had two legends pass away on us, didn't we? Of course, we had little Richard, who died a couple of days ago. Richard Penniman, and great singer of the 50s and 60s, and golly, people like the Beatles claimed that Little Richard was an inspiration for their music, and indeed, he was quite ostentatious, as a matter of fact, as well. So he's a bit of a showman. And now Jerry Stiller, comedy veteran Jerry Stiller, has passed away. You might remember him from the Seinfeld show, but he did so much. Many of us remember him when he had his wife, Ann Mira, with him, Stiller and Mira. He launched his career opposite Ann Mira in the 50s and then reemerged four decades later as Frank Costanza in Seinfeld. And he was 92. His son is Ben Stiller. Have you ever seen any of those Ben Stiller movies, Ed? Some of them are pretty funny.
Meet the Parents.
Yeah.
He played about 4 or 5 years ago. Ben did a movie and his dad was in it. It was called Heartbreak Kid.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, he was, Ben Stiller is funny. And I think he gets that from both of his parents. He really does. But Jerry Stiller, multi-talented guy, he appeared in an assortment of movies. He played with Walter Matthau in The Taking of Pelham, 1, 2, 3. I remember that movie. And he played Divine's husband, Wilbur Turnblad. What a name. Wilbur Turnblad in Hairspray. He did many things. And he was married for 50-plus years to Ann Mira. Now, Jerry Stiller was Jewish, but Ann Mira was Catholic. So that was an interesting situation as well. Anyway, we have our buddy, our Eye in the Northern Sky with us, Angelo Ceresi. Angelo, do you remember Stiller and Mira?
Not really, no.
Oh, there you go. That just complete collapse right there on that topic.
Well, I do know about Stiller when he played on Seinfeld and stuff.
Yeah,
like
you remember that. Okay, yeah. Well, he used to do a comedy duo on television. I guess I'm showing my age here, but with his wife Ann Mira. I don't know.
No, if I saw her, I would probably recognize her.
Oh yeah, you would. Yeah, she had a bit of a New York accent, you know, and sort of a Brooklyn accent.
Mm-hmm.
She was very quick-witted, very funny. They worked well together. They really did. So tell us, how are you doing? First of all, personally, is everything good? And
so far, so good. I just got off the phone with the doctors. I was supposed to have an appointment today, but nobody's going into the offices. You know, they're doing everything by phone or Facebook or FaceTime, I mean, or
yes.
Skype, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So everything's doing good. Staying in, you know.
What do you think of your governor's decision to send people with the virus, older people, back into nursing homes, which seem to escalate the disease?
He screwed up big time.
It does seem like it, does it not?
Yes.
Yeah.
I guess a lot of people passed away because of that, you know?
Yeah, it seemed like he dropped the ball on that one. And now, has he reversed course?
Supposedly, yes.
Okay.
Now he's reversed course on that.
Mm-hmm.
And, he's trying to get out of the bind that he's in. People are criticizing him for what he did.
Are they doing in the state of New York what they're kind of doing here? By the way, we're talking with Angelo Ceresi, R.I. in the Northern Sky out of Rochester, New York. Not far from the Canadian border, by the way.
But, we had snow this past weekend.
Yeah, that's right. That was
the middle of May almost.
How is that? How is that in the middle of May that you're getting snow? The same thing, I guess, in Maine, right?
Yes. Well, I remember back, I think it was 1989, 31 years ago, we got up to go golfing with my father, my brother, myself, my father, and my cousin. And it happened to be Mother's Day weekend. And we got up early to go play golf because then we'd go see our mothers, my mother and my mother-in-law after I got back. Because we'd only play 9 holes. We'd tee off at 7 o'clock and be done by 9:30, be home by 10. And it snowed. 10.6 inches of snow, 1989.
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
and,
10
I remember
inches.
I played in a band several years ago. It was called our Lilac Festival, when the lilacs are in full bloom and the weather's supposed to be nice.
Mm-hmm.
May 19th, and we were opening up for the 5 or 10K race, and they were lifting the stage up. And the ice was coming off of the stage, and it was snowing. Believe it or not.
Unbelievable.
It was so hard to play the guitar. My fingers were so cold, you know?
Oh, yeah. I didn't think of that. You're right. So is the state of New York handling things a little bit like Florida? In Florida, for instance, Governor DeSantis is allowing restaurants and now barbershops and salons and retail to start opening up, but not in the Miami, Fort Lauderdale area, because they've had more of an issue there. So, as in your state with New York City,
I guess it's right. New York City, I guess he's doing a little bit different. They've got these things opening up a little bit, supposedly after May 15th. Next week, we'll know for sure.
Well,
I know he's extended the pause program until June 7th.
So right now, if I was in Rochester, could I go into a retail store?
Right now?
Yeah.
Most of the stores are closed.
Yeah.
Except like your Wegmans, the grocery stores, the pharmacies and stuff.
So you can't go to like a Macy's or a...
No, the malls have been closed.
All the malls are still closed. Okay. Can you go and sit down in a restaurant yet?
No. Yeah, everything is takeout. You have to call it in and take it out, pick it up.
Okay.
Outside, they'll bring it outside.
So they're not loosening certain regulations outside of the city of New
York?
Not
yet, no. Rochester is still tight up like everything else.
So you're...
we'll know next week, I guess. May 15th, he said he would review everything, so...
Okay.
Let's see what happens, you know. No barbershops, no hairstyling places, nothing.
So, Angelo, did you get a stimulus check?
Yes, I did.
How come I didn't get one?
You didn't get one yet?
No, I really didn't get one yet. I was wondering what happened.
Well, from what I understand...
Do they like Italians better than Irish people, or what?
I don't think so. I think the tax for all the... They dislike all of us. they want to take your money no matter what.
I even went online and filled out...
It was coming through the IRS.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of Social Security or any of these other agencies. And if you had to pay, right, you have to... they don't have your accounting system where they could send in your checks.
Well, in my case, they do, because I'd been paying them and sending it in electronically, and they even have my bank account numbers for direct deposits and stuff like that. But you know what I mean? I did it all electronically.
Well, I paid too. And I had to send in, like I just sent in this last check to them. But they don't have your routing system.
Oh, yes,
you know
they
what I'm
do.
Saying?
Yes, they do.
So they do?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I just got mine last Wednesday.
Okay.
I've been waiting, and you can go online and get my payment.
Well, you don't need yours. Why don't you just mail it to me here at the station?
Did you sell that, too? I'm not doing anything right now anyway. I'm getting a lot of miles per gallon on my car, I can tell you that.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are indeed. You are indeed. Well, so... Are you comfortable yet venturing out? I know that you have your own condition, and so you're more, you're a little more cautious. And I know that I guess your wife goes to the grocery store. Do you?
Actually, my kids go to the grocery store.
Oh, the kids go. So you and your wife stay at home?
My wife and I stay at home. She doesn't want to get me infected by anything.
Yeah.
So my son, he's an investigator for Child Protective Services, so he was supposed to be working from home. But he's been going in every day.
I see.
So my son and my daughter-in-law, they'll go grocery shopping for us and leave stuff in the garage, and we'll get it and wipe it off, you know.
Well, if your son works in Child Protective Services, does he have to visit families and stuff like that?
Yes.
Well, that could be. That could be.
That. He has to go to.
He has to be careful.
I guess, you know, they say the abuse is up more now. I don't know.
Yes, you know, first, I've heard that. I've heard that, too. Because people are more stuck with each other. Is that the word they use?
I guess so. And he still has to make his visits and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, a lot of the court cases, they haven't gone to court. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's been shut down for a while.
Yeah.
But he does go into court all the time for that. The other day he had to travel downstate to Ithaca, New York, you know.
Uh-huh.
Do all that stuff. So he and my daughter-in-law, they'll drop stuff off in the garage for us, my daughter and my son-in-law.
You mean he actually won't come in and intermingle with
No, them? They won't come in. We talk on Skype or FaceTime.
Wow.
No, because he's... He goes into areas like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah. No, it makes sense for you to exercise extra caution.
And he working for the county, he knows what's going on with the COVID-19 cases, you know.
Does he seem to agree we should be very, very conservative, very, very careful about opening
yes,
up?
Yes, he does. He feels that way.
Uh-huh.
he said it's for real, you know.
Yeah.
Of course, he has his thoughts on some of it, how it came about, I guess, you know.
Yeah, a lot of people, we were talking about that a little earlier.
Some people feel that it's been caused by certain people to take down our president and to ruin our economy. You hear all different views, you know. You know, the thing is, you don't know what to believe anymore today because of what, I mean, you can see what's happened on the news, how the people try to, higher-ups in our Justice Department with the FBI trying to take down a president that was duly elected. You know, you see all these reports coming out that it was actually a coup. And if they could do that, you know, they could do this other stuff, you know, to take down the president and ruin the economy to get what they want.
Well, I think China was influencing a lot of countries.
It's like they didn't have any travel in their country, but they let people travel outside of their country.
Yeah, we talked about that on a little earlier today, and that to me is that is really that's devastating. And
but I mean, the thing is, I've had people, you know, some of my friends, you know, they talk and all this stuff, and they say like, you know, I don't know how true it is or anything like that, but like Joe Biden. His son sits on the board there in some Chinese companies and everything. And if they try to take down this president with this impeachment and the deep state, they're pretty capable of doing this also. You know what I'm saying? Who's to stop them?
Well, I think there's a lot of conspiracy theories. I would not go so far as to blame anybody in the United States for this this pandemic. I think
right, but I do blame them for a coup trying to take down this president with all this.
Oh, there's no question. Well,
I mean, that's known fact now.
Yeah. Well, that is, they're getting their comeuppance to some extent now. In fact, we've got a story about how Durham, who was appointed to look into all of this stuff, is pulling ahead with this Russia probe.
And right, so, but you know, you can't blame people for coming up with these theories or not knowing what to believe because
right.
They put us into this situation.
Yes. When we can't trust our own government or our own FBI.
Right, who can you trust?
Then all of these theories certainly are going to abound. You're absolutely right, Angela.
I mean, you know, and then people have, you know, they're concerned.
Yeah.
I mean, if they can do this to a president, what can they do to us?
Yeah. Well, I thank you, my friend. I'm glad to hear you're doing well. I know you're still hunkered down. I'm waiting for the day when we can all get back out into the sun. But thanks, my friend, and we'll talk with you next Monday again.
You're quite welcome. Always a pleasure.
All right, sir. There he goes, Angelo Ceresi. All right, we're going to take our final break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the cities that are poised to make a very good comeback in this pandemic. So stay tuned.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
It won't be long now till we open up again here in Florida. And men, the first place that I'm going to go is to Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. I've been to lots of haircutters over the years, and I can tell you I have never found a better one than Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. With over 50 years of experience and a staff of hair experts, Andrew's Master Barbershop is truly in a class by itself. So men, when we finally open up again, make a date for Andrew's Master Barbershop just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio Herd every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food and Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com. My bridge is all.
Hello out there. Tune in every Saturday at noon on Tan Talk for Connecting Caregivers with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers. Every Saturday at noon, we will find resources, education, and a shoulder for the caregivers. I know it's tough, but we can work it out together. Look forward to you tuning in on Saturdays at noon where you'll have tons of information. Linda Burhan's the gal who cares for the caregiver.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We are back on Freedom Works. By the way, Monday, Tuesday, Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the great Tan Talk Radio Network. You can listen to Freedom Works. Now, Moody's Analytics have issued a report that say cities including Austin, Texas, and Durham, North Carolina, are best poised for a quick coronavirus recovery because of their levels of population density and their educational attainment. In other words, they're smart enough to figure out how to deal with it, I guess is what they mean. Here is a senior regional economist at Moody's, Adam Kamins. He says the most dynamic recoveries may well bypass traditional powerhouses and take place instead in areas that were not poised to lead the way in 2020 before everything changed. Not only Austin and Durham, but San Jose, California, Minneapolis, Seattle are reportedly going to be moving back into normal things a little bit quicker than others. Now, Kamin says a key difference between this recovery and the last time we had anything like this, well, never had anything exactly like this, he said, is the population density. Now, the report predicted quick recoveries for Durham and Madison, Wisconsin, another one, because of the city's proximities to universities. Also, Des Moines in Iowa. And Omaha, Nebraska, because in part their locations allow for a more spread out population. So there you go. If you're in those cities, you'll get back on your feet perhaps a little bit quicker. Now, you know, this whole Michael Flynn thing opens up that can of worms that had to do with trying to figure out a way by Democrats to bring down Donald Trump. Well, John Durham is apparently going full throttle with his review into the origins of the Russia-Trump collusion conspiracy in the 2016 election. A couple of sources say that Jeff Jensen, who is a U.S. attorney, who was tapped to review the case of Michael Flynn, is continuing to help with Durham's investigation. So, they're looking into actually bringing some indictments, apparently. When you asked the Justice Department officially, they declined to comment. But we'll see about Durham. You know, we've been waiting and waiting and waiting for some of that, right? Keep saying, well, eventually. Now, I don't know if Durham's going to wait until all of this pandemic thing blows over or if this is in any way stifling his investigation, you know, because he can't, I don't know, rub shoulders with a lot of people. But we'll see where all of this goes. We'll see where all of this goes. Also, interestingly, mail-in voting. Have you noticed Democrats are starting to get all excited? They perhaps want to have the entire presidential election in November turning into a mail-in voting format. Whether or not that's a good idea, you know, right away, if you've not done it, you got to get something like that into place. Here in Florida, we have mail-in voting, and apparently it's worked very well. But if you just all of a sudden decide you want to do it, there's all kinds of, you know, you have to build up a foundation for it. You can't just say, okay, you know, you got to get people ready to match signatures, and there's all kinds of little things you have to do. And it also slows down, in some cases, the results in terms of when you know how a state has done, if it's all mail-in voting, you're not going to find out by the end of the night. You're just not going to do it. All right, it is time for our top 10. We, on Friday, gave you the top 10 best state capitals to live in. So turn about being fair play. We're going to give you the top 10 worst state capitals to live in. So if you're on the drum set, here we go. Number 10. Tallahassee, Florida. Have you ever been there?
Drove through it a couple times.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I always thought it was kind of a nice city.
No?
I don't know.
Not so safe. No.
No, downtown okay. Area is dangerous. Is that what you want to say? Yeah.
Tallahassee's okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I was thinking Jacksonville.
Oh, okay. But you've not gone through Tallahassee, huh?
I did.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Number 9. Frankfort, Kentucky. Ever been through Kentucky?
Drove through it, yeah.
Okay. Didn't stop.
Nope.
Okay. Number 8. Jefferson City, Missouri. Now, most people don't even know that the capital of Missouri is Jefferson City. They would have said, oh, it's got to be Kansas City. No, mm-hmm. Maybe it's St. Louis. No, it's Jefferson City and not Branson. Jefferson City, Missouri. All right. Number 7. Jackson, Mississippi. Jackson, Mississippi. Apparently, its economic well-being, one of the lowest in the nation. Median household income, $37,000. Number 6, Dover, Delaware, where there are expensive rental options and a higher level of crime. Okay, there you go. Number 5, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Did you know Baton Rouge was the capital of Louisiana?
Yep, I did.
Good, good. It's low on the list of capitals because of a high crime rate and a low median household income, $41,000. Number 4, Hartford, Connecticut. I have been to Hartford. Its median household income, about $34,000. One of the least affordable capitals in the nation. Number 3, Augusta, Maine. And why? I have absolutely no idea. I've been to Maine. It's a beautiful state, too, by the way. You ever been to Maine?
No, but that's on my bucket list to go up there when the seasons change.
Yeah, get to the ocean and the Rockies.
I think it gets started early there, doesn't it?
And also, you got to have a lobster dinner there. Oh, okay. That's the best lobster you'll get in the country, which I've had. It's great. All right, number 2. I wouldn't have known this. Did you know that the capital of Nevada is Carson City?
Yes.
You know more than I do. I would have thought something like Reno. I don't know why, but anyway, apparently Carson City is not a good place to be. Do you know anything about why? It doesn't say here.
Nope. Maybe it's the stepchild to everything else.
Who yeah, knows? Maybe that's it. You're right. All right, Ed. Just for fun. Any idea what?
Atlanta, Georgia. I don't know.
That's a good one. You know, that's a good one. But that's not right. It's Trenton, New Jersey is the worst.
Yeah, that
very
makes
high,
sense.
Yeah, high crime rate, densely populated, one of the worst economic well-being ranks in the nation, and one of the least balanced in terms of affordability. So there you go. Sorry, Trenton. All right, we'll be back tomorrow, Tuesday. Stay safe, and remember, freedom works.